Well, what a sweet time this morning. It feels like a receiving and a celebration of the love of God this morning, doesn't it? We've had that sense where this theme has come through, hasn't it? God loves us. And it's the foundation for everything, isn't it? How wonderful to be in his presence. And again, really, that the love of God is the foundation of what I feel like the Lord has put on my heart this morning. So my thoughts this morning really are gathered around the home. If I was to ask each one of you, what does home mean to you? And I think it stirs all kinds of thoughts, doesn't it, and emotions when we think about home. For some of you this morning, you would have come from a very quiet home. And some of you, maybe from a very noisy, slightly chaotic home this morning. Strong-arming your kids into the van before you get to church. All that goes with having a large family or being in a home with a lot of people. Some homes are peaceful, aren't they? Some homes are stressful. Some are difficult. Some are easy. It stirs up all of these thoughts about home. We've just got so much that goes on in our minds. And I think for many of us, home, I think probably for the majority of us, home is a good thought. It's a pleasing thought, isn't it? When we think about home, it's wonderful. It speaks about a place of peace, a place of safety, a place of belonging, a place of comfort, a place where you come home after a day's work and you just rest. And it's just a wonderful thought, isn't it? It's sadly not always the case. There's many unhappy homes. Some people have lost homes. And then also, I think the phrase broken home is all too common these days, isn't it? But the idea of home is inspired by God. It comes from God. And we can think about heaven. We can think about Eden. We can think about even our physical houses that we live in, can't we? It's home. These places are home. And this is what God has designed. And it's come from his heart. There's also thoughts of heaven. The thought of going home to heaven brings comfort, doesn't it, to each one of us here. And as a builder, I get to see a lot of homes. I spend probably more time in other people's homes than I do in my own. And it's fascinating. It really is. Some homes are very clean, very clinical, immaculate. Doesn't last for long when we arrive. Some homes are a bit more messy. I like to say lived in, maybe. They're a bit more relaxed. There's stuff everywhere. But it's just interesting getting different perspectives, going into different homes. And it's amazing how many people, there's very protective people out there. And I know that in the building trade, I think we're probably some of the most least liked people out there, I think. As soon as you see a bunch of big vans and vehicles turn up, the neighbours are just, unless you're having the work done, the neighbours generally aren't very happy. Thankfully, we for the most part, we get on well with the neighbours and everything goes smoothly. But it's not always the case. So even last week, I had a guy say to me, "Are you done yet?" And I said, "No." He said, "It's like a car park out here." And he just kept walking. There was no like pleasantries or anything. But I think that is, it's quite a common, you know, he expressed it, but I think a lot of people think it and they don't express it. But home is a wonderful thing, isn't it? People get very protective of it. We've had people yelling at us if we're too close to their lawn, too close to their driveway. They can't get in and out easy enough. And people, you know, the Englishman and his castle. That kind of mentality is quite common. But home is wonderful. It's a place where you're surrounded by your stuff, the things you love. Sometimes, you know, you're in a home with a family, the people you love. And there's a real sense of comfort, belonging, enjoyment. But it's all come from the Lord, hasn't it? It's God's idea. And we see this even in nature, to use the Lord Jesus' words, birds have nests, foxes have holes, dens. And this whole idea has come from God. And there's a very real spiritual truth that's attached with this. So we can make a lot of parallels between our physical homes and what the Lord has designed us to be, and where he's designed us to be. But it's fair to say that we're all looking for a home, aren't we? We're all looking for somewhere to belong, some sense, you know, where we can just relax. This is where I'm meant to be. I think that's true for all of us. So let me turn you to John chapter 14. I'm just going to read a few verses. John chapter 14, verse 15. And there's a bit of a context to this, which I'll give in a minute. But it's the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples after they've just had supper together and enjoyed fellowship together. And the Lord Jesus says to them, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And then Judas says, not Iscariot, Judas says to the Lord, "How is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him." There's a recurring theme here, isn't there? And this is the verse that I want. "And we will come to him and make our home with him." When I read that, I feel awestruck by I don't understand it, but it's true. The thought that God, we, the Trinity, if you like, the Godhead, wants to make their home, his home, in us. It's a staggering thought, isn't it? And the Lord says, "I will come to you. I will manifest myself to you." And then he says, "We will make our home with you." The context here really is it's the Lord Jesus meeting together with his disciples. It's been a wonderful time. He was preparing his disciples for his death and resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And they'd enjoyed supper together. The Lord, remember, had washed the feet of the disciples. He taught them. He'd encouraged them. And at this point, the disciples had spent most of their time, since the Lord started his ministry, the disciples spent most of their time with him. As they followed him. And really, the Lord had become the center of their world, hadn't he? Their whole lives revolved around the Lord Jesus. And they'd found a place, if you like, they found a place of belonging. They found a place of friendship a place of purpose with the Lord Jesus. And there's wonderful pictures of that. The Apostle John leaning on the Lord. It's just it's a sense of relaxation, isn't it? Of comfort. And it's a very clear and wonderful picture. But in many senses, they found a home, didn't they? They found a place to belong with the Lord Jesus. And then he is trying to explain to them, and he has done earlier with his walk with them, trying to explain the fact that he must die, that his death is imminent. And I think for the disciples, they just could not grasp it. They could not. It was hard for them to receive. It was hard for them to understand the fact that this one who they had become so attached to, they'd become so close to, had to go away and to leave them. And the Lord said things like, "Where I go, you cannot follow now, but you will afterwards." And he said, "The world will see me no more, but you will see me." And they must have had so many questions. And further on, the Lord says that the sorrow had filled their hearts. And then we come to this statement in verse 21, where the Lord says, "I will manifest myself to him. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I'll manifest myself to him." And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And then we get the question from Judas. In the next verse, he said, "Lord, how are you going to do that? How will you manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" You can see the questions, and the disciples have had questions all the way through, haven't they? And it's another sign that they're just relaxed with the Lord. They can ask these questions and not really grasp, not fully understand what he's saying. And then Jesus says, "We will come and make our home with him." And at this point, I think, what was Judas thinking? He might have thought, I still don't get it. I still don't understand, Lord. What do you mean? You will make your home with us. But of course, all of these questions would be answered on the day of Pentecost, wouldn't they? When the Holy Spirit came, this is what Jesus was doing. He was preparing them for his death, for his resurrection, for his ascension to heaven, and also for the coming of the Holy Spirit, who would transform their lives on a day-to-day basis. And the Holy Spirit, he says, will come and live. He'll come and live, and he'll come and settle, and he'll be at home in your hearts. And I just think this is a wonderful thing, isn't it? They didn't fully understand it, but on the day of Pentecost, they really did understand it. The Holy Spirit came, and he brought that sense, if you like, of the presence of God, the presence of the Godhead. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. Jesus said he proceeds from the Father. He's not a separate entity, the Holy Spirit, from the Godhead. He proceeds from the Father. And Jesus said he testifies of the Son. And he said he will glorify me. These are all from different verses quite shortly after. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit shares all of the character, all of the attributes, all of the holiness of God the Father and God the Son. And he comes to live in his people. I find that, it's amazing, isn't it? How wonderful. And therefore Jesus can say, we will come and make our home. Every now and again, you'll get little glimpses, won't you, of just the wonder of what this really means to us. Even though our minds, my mind in particular, I'll include myself, struggle. I struggle a lot trying to comprehend these things. But every now and again, look, the Lord will give you a glimpse. It's, oh yes, that is wonderful. The Lord living in his people, living in us, making his home here. And it's amazing that we've been invited into the Godhead, haven't we? Into fellowship, into communion with him. So I guess my question this morning is, do we feel at home in God? Do we feel at home with the Lord? Is he at home in us? It's a big question, isn't it? And I just wanted to bring out really three aspects of what home is and how our physical experience of home can relate to a spiritual home, this spiritual sense of belonging. And the first one, I tried to be clever. The first one is authenticity. The second one is belonging. And then I was trying to think of a C, so it was ABC to make it easy to remember, but I couldn't make it work. So the third one is blessing. So it's ABB. So you would have forgotten about that by the end of the meeting, probably. But here we are. Authenticity. Be yourself. This is something that the Lord brings. When he comes into a life, he brings this sense of you don't have to pretend. You don't have to be anyone other than who you are. It's God who works in you. We can rest in this, can't we? We can rest in the fact that it's God who works in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. You can totally relax. And I think if you imagine your own homes, we are completely relaxed in our own homes, aren't we? For better or for worse, whatever that looks like, I don't know. But we can just totally relax. And of course, you know, if you have someone over to visit, you give it a bit of a spruce, you get the Febreze out and get out of your PJs and put some clothes on. But but there's this sense when you're at home, you can completely relax and the real you comes out, doesn't it? I could really embarrass my family this morning, but I won't. But it's not uncommon for us in the morning. We have a dog. Some of you will know our dog. And whenever someone comes to the door, he will just grab a shoe. He'll grab a random shoe from somewhere. So we've got shoes basically all over different rooms in the house until we gather them all up. But quite often in the morning when we let the dog outside at the back, you'll just grab whatever's there. So it's not uncommon to be out there in your dressing gown and you've got a dress shoe on one foot and a slider on the other foot, which is probably for the two lefts or two rights. It's just like I often think if the neighbor looked over the fence, he'd just think these people are crazy. But and it's not uncommon to see one of our girls possibly out there with a shower cap and some work boots on and a dressing gown. It's just like you just grab whatever's there and you're at home. And we're at the point now where it's not unusual. You don't, you know, you think, oh, yeah, they're just tending to the dog. But, you know, you dress like a clown and you think. But you're totally relaxed in the fact that you are at home. You're with people who love you. You don't have to pretend to be anyone. You don't have to put on some kind of facade. And it's wonderful, isn't it? And I think that the Spirit brings an assurance. I think we've heard this morning. When the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he brings that assurance and that knowledge that God loves us. I think it was Johnny that was praying this earlier. He brings an understanding. And that, in turn, means that we can just let all of our guards down. We can just relax. We can just be who we are in his presence when the Holy Spirit is at home in us. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? There's no need to pretend. It must be exhausting, I think. And I was thinking about the parallels. You can think about the disciples and the Pharisees. The disciples were just very relaxed in the Lord's presence, weren't they? Asking questions, leaning on the Lord. There's all kinds of examples. Whereas the Pharisees were all about outward image, pretense, pretending to be someone that they weren't really. They were hypocritical in many ways. But the Lord does away with that, doesn't he? He brings us to a place. He brings that peace, that safety in the knowledge that he loves us. We don't have to be anyone. We don't have to impress the Lord. We don't have to earn merit. We don't have to earn his favor. We just have to love him and follow him. It's just so wonderful, isn't it? It takes away all the sweat and the striving and the stress of being a Christian. Glory to his name. God knows us inside out, and I think it's just foolishness, really, isn't it, when we try and pretend with the Lord in that relationship with him. He knows us inside out. You can spill your heart with questions, concerns, even your failures. You just come to the Lord. It's like, oh Lord, here I am, this is me, all of my stuff, everything that's going on in my heart, you can just bring it to him. And there's a sense you'll find peace, you'll find forgiveness, you'll find grace with the Lord, you'll find communion. This is home. This is what I understand as being home, is this communion. We've celebrated it this morning, this communion with the Lord. And we can, again, like I said, we can rest in the fact that God is working in us. God is changing us. It's not for us to try and figure out, how can I be a better Christian? How can I earn God's favor? He's doing it by his grace and for his pleasure. Our responsibility is to walk in love and obedience to him, isn't it? And I feel as though so much of religious Christianity, if you like, is this kind of outward, it's the outward appearance. And many people view God as austere, distant, someone to be feared. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he changes all that. Yes, God is to be feared. But there's this overriding aspect of love and communion and fellowship with him, all made possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in contrast, this is in contrast, isn't it? This distant, this fearful, austere God. It's in contrast to true Christianity, in contrast to a loving Father who wants to enjoy a relationship with us, with his children. And he wants to be at home with his children, in his children. It's wonderful. And I think this intimacy is missed by far too many in Christianity. So authenticity, be yourself, be real. You can totally relax with all of your baggage, all of your thoughts, all of your love, all of your worship, everything. This place of being home with the Lord is where you can really be you. More so than it is with anyone else. And even our closest family. We can be more at home with the Lord than we can with our closest family. And that's wonderful, isn't it? The second one is belonging. A sense of belonging. As I said before, we're all searching for this, aren't we? We're all searching for a place where we belong and where we're accepted. And I think just as humans, we try and find it in many things, don't we? For some people, they join clubs, you join different groups, societies, even in church. We find a sense of belonging in church, don't we? But it's best expressed in the physical aspect of a house, home, somewhere where you go to, where you spend most of your time. And this is how God has designed it. But we'll always find that even like the physical sense of home will never fully satisfy that sense of belonging. And I think that is clear when we look out there in the world. Whether you have a good home or whether you have a bad home, there's a sense that, yes, it's wonderful, we can relax, but it will never bring that true sense of peace, that true sense of comfort, of safety, that the Lord will bring when he comes into a human heart. And for so many, they look for belonging in the wrong places. My mind went to the story of the prodigal son. It's a wonderful illustration that the Lord gives, isn't it? He obviously went looking for something, didn't he? And realized, it's empty, I can't find it. But there was always a home. That home was always, would have always been in the back of his mind. And he came to his senses, didn't he? And he went home. And it's wonderful. The Lord Jesus' heart for us is to bring us in, to gather us, to bring us into a place of home. He said about Jerusalem, he says, how often I wanted to gather you in as a hen gathers her chicks, but you weren't willing. And out there in the world, sometimes we can take a bit of a beating, can't we, at different times. For some people, it's much more pronounced, thinking of the persecuted church, people who are faced with very difficult daily circumstances. For us, not so much, but there's still an element where we receive opposition, and life is very difficult. To be able to retreat to the Lord in those situations, even right in the middle of a situation where you can retreat into your heart, if you like, and have this peace, this comfort, this fellowship with the Lord, is a wonderful privilege for all of us, isn't it? Because sooner or later we will be hurt, will be offended. People will let us down. Relationships will let us down. Circumstances, disappointments. Thinking of, for those of us who've had kids, some of the things they struggle with at school, some of the relationships, issues with teachers, maybe, I don't know. But just general stuff that kids struggle with. For them to be able to come home to parents who love them, who understand, who can comfort them, is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And so it is with the Lord and his children, with us. It's like we always have this constant sense that we're okay. We're okay with God. He's okay with us. I know it's a challenge, isn't it? Because sometimes things become, you know, very overwhelming. But the truth is that if the Holy Spirit lives and dwells in us, we have home wherever we go. Whatever we face in this world, there's this sense of peace and comfort. The Lord says, cast all your care on him. I don't know if any of you have seen some of the hostages that have been released from Israel and Gaza. And just some of the scenes of joy. It's like these people were held somewhere where they didn't belong. They weren't home. They were held in a prison. But to see the joy of them returning to their homes, returning to their families, it's very, very moving. And this really is just, again, another picture of the Lord. We were all hostages. Spiritually, we're all hostages until the Lord comes to release us, to bring us home to himself. Rejection is a big word, isn't it? It's a big issue in life. It's a devastating thing, very, very damaging. I don't need to tell you that. But another aspect of this is acceptance. To be accepted is a wonderful thing, isn't it? There's many people who aren't accepted, whether that be in a family situation, in a work situation. But God has brought us into a place where we are accepted. Accepted in the beloved is one scripture, isn't it? He's brought us in. The Lord Jesus himself experienced rejection and hatred. And so will we. The Lord says the world and everything that is part and parcel of that will hate you. If you love me, the world will hate you. But what a wonderful thing to be able to retreat, if you like. It's maybe not the right word, but to retreat into the Lord and experience that inward peace and that he brings. I've used the home as a physical picture, really, of of a spiritual truth. But of course, looking at the physical home, you can think of, I mean, many people don't have one. To be homeless is a terrible thing, isn't it? And it's a harsh reality that many homes, as I've said, are broken. Many people have lost homes, displaced. But the wonderful thing is that God supersedes that. He wants to supersede all of the physical aspects of home and whatever it might mean to us, and come and live, come and dwell, come and reside in his people. Some of you may have read bits of Madame Guyon, Christian, French Christian lady, who spent a lot of her time in prison. And one of her little, a verse from one of her poems is, she said, "My country is in every clime. I can be calm and free from care on any shore since God is there. My country is in every clime." In other words, my home, my place of belonging is wherever. It can be anywhere in the world. It doesn't matter, as long as God is there. When God is there, I'm home. And it's a wonderful truth that we can take with us, isn't it? We can take for granted the fact that we might have a nice, peaceful, pleasant home, but that may not always be the case. But to know that God is our true home supersedes all of that, doesn't it? And he brings such wonderful peace. Like the hostages released from the grip of the enemy, so are we released from the grip of the enemy by the Lord Jesus and by his blood. Thinking about some of the heroes of faith, if we read at the end of Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks of those who wandered in deserts, living in caves and dens, destitute, afflicted. These are the Lord's people, and they suffered some of the most horrendous things. We can think of the apostles, the apostle Paul, even the Lord Jesus himself. No sense of like a physical home, nowhere to kind of go back to and just relax. But they all had this wonderful sense that God is their home. And wherever they were, if God was with them, all was well. And it says at the end of there, "of whom the world was not worthy." It's a wonderful line, isn't it? And I guess in a sense, we're all nomads, aren't we, in this world? I don't know if you feel like that sometimes. We're all strangers, pilgrims, as Paul puts it. And do you ever feel like a stranger in different situations in the world? You may be, I don't know, maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's in a social event or activity. I've sensed this lots of times, and we can't avoid it because we live in the world. But there is a sense where I went to an event. I won't go into detail. A little while back, and it involved, you know, pubs and drinking, and I had to be there. But it was just that the atmosphere. It was kind of walking through a pub like this, just people yelling and screaming, really loud music, and. And it's just like, I enjoyed that when I was young. But now the Lord has come, I feel like a foreigner. I feel like a stranger. It's like, I don't belong here, but I'm here. But the Lord Jesus must have experienced that when he was walking, hanging out, going to, you know, sinners' houses. He must have had that sense where, like, you know, I'm bringing something of life to these people, but I do not belong here. This is not my home. And the wonderful, I think we sang about it earlier, that the Lord Jesus left his home. He left the comfort. He left the security of the Father to give us a home. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But wherever you are in the world, whatever the situation you're in, you may feel like a stranger. But if God is here, and real and resident in your heart, your home, you can relax. And I guess the opposite is true. If we feel at home in some of these situations, we need to question, why? Why do I feel at home in the world, if you like? Something's off. God wants to change that. He wants to make himself the center of your life so that when he's there, everything from that point spills out, and all of our thoughts, all of our desires, all come from this central place of where God is at home in us. It's a privilege, isn't it? I'm not going to get to the third point, which was blessing. That will be maybe for another time. Maybe I would have moved on by then. But God invites each one of us, doesn't he, into fellowship, into home, into love with him. All paid for by the blood of Jesus and actioned by the Holy Spirit. So that really is, I just want to leave you with a question. Are you at home in the Lord? Is he at home in you? Do you feel like you can just relax? You can be yourself? Do you belong? You don't feel like a stranger? This is what God wants for each one of us, doesn't he? Amen.